The war in the Middle East isn't confined to Israel and Gaza. The people of Lebanon are also suffering. Hi, I'm Rob West. Thousands in Lebanon have been displaced by the fighting between Israel and the terror group Hezbollah. Jack Hibbert joins us today to talk about a way you can help and share the love of Christ. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome my friend Jack Hibbert to the program today. Jack is with Heart for Lebanon, a ministry that's giving under-resourced children and their families the essentials they need to survive in Lebanon. But more importantly, the chance to encounter God and grow spiritually, and their work is especially needed right now, and we're delighted to shine a light on it. Jack, great to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Rob, and I'm really excited about this partnership between Heart for Lebanon and Faith and Finance, you know, especially in this critical time, everything that's happening in the Middle East, and really excited about the opportunity that we have to connect listeners to where God is working.
Yeah, and that's our heart as well, and we love generosity, and so being able to connect our listeners to really meaningful work that's being done in the name of Jesus is so important. And Jack, with everything going on in Israel right now, why is it important to funnel resources to Lebanon in particular?
Well, that's a logical question, especially when you look at everything that we see on the news each night. I would say because the level of despair in the country of Lebanon right now is at a historic high. And because God's working there like never before. We've got an urgent situation, honestly, Rob. 2.5 million refugees in a country of only 4 million people. There are more refugees, more displaced people in the country of Lebanon per square mile than in any other place in the world. We don't hear a lot about that, but that's a fact. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the crisis of economy there, which is almost beyond description. The World Bank has called it the worst economic collapse in the last 150 years of our existence. 85% of everybody living there right now in the country of Lebanon needs some kind of aid. And 99% of every refugee family is just looking for their next meal.
Yeah, so the need is incredible. Now, despite the despair, I know I've heard you say hope is rising. I know you've made a number of trips there personally. How have you seen God working in the hearts and lives of the people there?
Well, just in some amazing ways, really, Rob. But I will say this. I'll never forget one of the first trips I ever made to Lebanon. I met a family there in a farmer's field who shared with me the horrific story that they had endured in really their journey into the country of Lebanon as a refugee. They were impacted by the Syrian war, like so many of the people that we serve. And this man said he got a knock on the door in the middle of the night, opened that door and saw a Syrian army officer there. The guy said to him, look, you have 15 minutes. That father of that family looked at him and said, 15 minutes for what? He said, well, in 15 minutes, we're going to take this house. This is our house in 15 minutes. That's exactly what happened, Rob. 15 minutes later, guns started firing. He grabbed his wife, his children, whatever they could carry, and they made a five-day journey into the country of Lebanon. Well, I met this family in the back of this banana field. They were living in this irrigation hut, and a couple of things hit me right away. Number one, I looked at the children, and I thought, man, you know, these kids have a look on their face. They've been through a lot. You could see almost the trauma on their faces. Yeah. But the man who was sharing the story just had such joy. It was incredible. And as he's sharing this really unbelievable story, he said something in the middle of that story, and I looked at the interpreter, and I said, hold on just a second. I think you got that wrong. Make him say that again. And he said, this is the best thing that has ever happened to us. Now, Rob, I'm sitting in what they considered their living room with water basically running through their living room. I looked around. They had basically nothing. And he said, yes, we lived in Syria. We had heard about Jesus. But it wasn't until Heart for Lebanon met us here in this farmer's field, started providing for us just the things that we needed to get by, and then shared with us that we could know Jesus as our Savior. It wasn't until then that we realized who Jesus really was. He said, I've come to know him as my personal Savior, my wife has, and so has my children. Wow. And I've seen that story repeated time and time again. It's really foundational to who Heart for Lebanon is. Yes, we meet people in their need. There are so many in Lebanon right now that desperately need relief. But if you stop there, all you have is a transaction. For Heart for Lebanon, we knew if we were going to make an impact for Christ, we'd have to have a relationship just like we have had with that family in that banana field.
Jack, it's a powerful story. How can our listeners get involved?
by going to faithfi.com/Lebanon, where we've set up a toll-free number to learn more, 888-201-5577.
Jack, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rob.
faithfi.com/Lebanon. We'll be right back. So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal in this program, to help you be a wise and faithful steward. That means we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Therefore, we're His money managers or stewards of His resources and money. Well, money's a tool to accomplish His purposes. So we should really start with our values and priorities as believers and then order our financial lives accordingly, heeding the counsel of Scripture, applying principles, and then building a spending plan based on how much is enough, asking God what lifestyle He's called us to, and then building a plan that allows us to give every dollar a name, but not letting the world or the culture or a system built on materialism inform our decisions, but really making our decisions in light of what's most important to us. Well, we want to help you do that on this program each day, not being in pointing a finger at you or trying to discourage you in any way. We want to be hopeful and encouraging as we help you apply God's wisdom to your financial life. So what are you thinking about today? What decisions are you trying to make? We'd love to tackle those with you. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Pennsylvania today. Hi, Debbie. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have a small PIP, personal investment plan, with my company, and I'm retiring at the end of the year. And it's not going to give me very much in my monthly payments. I was wondering if there's something else I can do with it, because I do have the option of taking it out as a lump sum.
Yeah, yeah, got it. And this is obviously a qualified retirement plan. You're contributing to this pre-tax, is that right?
Yes, I contribute a small portion to pre-tax, and they supposedly put in 9%.
Okay.
But
yeah, very
not
good.
Not matching. They don't have a matching program.
All right, but they're automatically contributing 9% above whatever you put in?
Yes.
All right. And then how is it invested? Who selects those investments inside the PIP plan?
It's a Westpath. It's a company.
Okay. All right. And how has it performed? Do you know?
I have what they project here in front of me. I don't really understand all of it.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
It says net rate of return. It says 1.4%, which doesn't, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, it potentially it's after fees. That's your return, 1.4%, which isn't great, although the market's been down. So the big question would just be over what time period that is. How much do you have in there today, roughly?
It's 94,000.
Okay. And how far away is retirement, did you say?
The end of December this year.
And have you put together a retirement budget, Debbie? Do you know what you're planning for your monthly expenses to look like as you transition?
Well, yeah, everything's paid off, like our house, our cars. And I thought if I could come up with $1,400 total with my Social Security, that would be good. That's my budget. But
okay.
This is going to be $100 short with what they're projecting.
Yeah. All right. So you said you need a $1,400 a month total, and that includes Social Security. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what are you expecting to get per month from Social Security?
With Part B taken out, it's just around $1,000.
Okay. All right. Well, you're going to be close. I mean, you know, with a $94,000 account, we would typically say, okay, as a starting point, and that's all it is, this doesn't replace you doing some, you know, real retirement planning with an advisor who could really look at all aspects of your financial life. But just as a rule of thumb, if we were to pull 4% a year from that $94,000, you know, that'd be around $310 a month or $3,700 a year. So that plus your Social Security, you know, leaves you about a, you know, maybe $100 a month short, $150, something like that. Now, if you pulled 5%, you'd obviously be there because that would give you basically $400 a month that you could add to your Social Security. So I think the key right now is, as you separate from employment, probably rolling this out to an IRA, an individual retirement account, and then hiring an advisor to manage this for you. The good news is, although we're expecting more modest returns in stocks over the next decade compared to the last couple of decades, just because, you know, we've been in a very low interest rate environment, and because inflation globally will probably prove stickier than we would like in terms of trying to get down close to our 2% target where inflation's been, we're probably entering a period with slower growth and earnings for companies, because we'll probably have higher interest rates longer term, not where they are now, but certainly higher than where they have been. That coupled with some of the demographics and population shortages in terms of populations declining and therefore workers, we're probably entering a slower growth environment. But, we are probably entering a very favorable environment for bonds. And so the idea that you would transition to more of a balanced portfolio where you might have as much as half in bonds and half in stocks, and then you try to limit your withdrawals to no more than 5% a year, ideally, then the goal would be for you to be able to maintain that roughly $94,000-$100,000 balance and be able to, pull out that roughly $400 a month or $4,800 a year. That plus Social Security, if you really kind of dial into your budget and look for ways to trim and cut back and just are really thoughtful about what you're spending, sounds like that could work. It doesn't give you a whole lot of margin, though. So that would be, I guess, the only issue. Do you have any emergency savings set aside beyond this PIP?
Just the bare minimum, about
$3,000. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And that's just going to require that you're really careful there. The other option is, you look at perhaps some, part-time work, maybe for a season. So you're pulling less from your retirement accounts. That could hopefully make up what you were planning to pull from the $94,000. Let that continue to grow and delay, having to withdraw from it. Obviously, if you could delay Social Security, that would help too, because that check would grow. But given that, you're just 30 days away, it sounds like, your plans are already in place to retire. And so if the Social Security is really the core part of your income, then obviously you don't have that flexibility. So I think anything you can do to delay or slow the withdrawals from the personal investment plan would obviously be helpful, because it just gives it a chance to grow and, take some of the pressure off of you having to pull that out, just given, you're right up to the edge in terms of your monthly spending and you don't, have much in the way of reserves. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes. And
yeah,
this is not government backed, but they say they're very stable. I don't know. Is that a concern?
Well, yeah, no, you're going to be rolling this out probably to an IRA anyway. And then, it has protection through SIPC toward theft or fraud. Now, as soon as you invest it, you've got market risk in terms of these investments losing value, unless you put it in a guaranteed product like a CD, or maybe you put it into an annuity with a guaranteed return, and then you're relying on the strength of the insurance company, and then they would guarantee a monthly payout every month. And if that's what you're looking for, I'd get with an advisor and explore an annuity option. Debbie, all the best to you in this next season. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment, but let me remind you, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around. Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. You know, as we near the end of 2023, let me invite you to consider supporting the work here at Faith and Finance. We need your help in order to continue to equip God's people to be good and faithful stewards of His resources. We have a year-end goal of $250,000 from listener support. We're well on our way, but still a ways to go. You know, our vision is that we would see all Christians really understand that God is their ultimate treasure, which changes everything about how we handle money. Because when we understand that it starts with our faith and then money is an expression of that or a tool to accomplish God's purposes, well, it changes everything and it allows us to be that wise and faithful steward. And if you'd like to help us equip more stewards on this journey, we'd invite you to do that at faithfi.com. Just click on Give at the top of the page. You'll see our new impact report, which gives you some analysis of what God has allowed us to do this year and where we're headed next year. Because at the end of the day, it's about seeing changed lives, people equipped on this journey and released to be all that God has for them, especially in this area of generosity. Listen to one of our listeners who was impacted by this message.
I just wanted to say, other than Mr. Burkett, you are the only one that I've ever listened to on the radio that told the truth about giving.
Oh, wow.
You know, especially dealing with tithes. We try to teach people you don't pay your tithes. You pay a power bill, you pay a water bill, a house payment, and you don't like doing that. But when you do like y'all say and learn what the true meaning of giving is all about, it changes your life. And I listen to you religiously daily because I know I'm going to get the truth and I'm going to get the true meaning. And I just want you to know, I really appreciate you being the man of God you are and teaching people the true meaning of giving. And I would challenge anybody out there, take 3 months and learn what the meaning of giving is and see if it don't change your life. Instead of paying your tithes at church, start giving. Just give it and learn what the true meaning of giving is that y'all teach.
Wow.
You know, it's not about what I share on a daily basis. It's about directing you back to the scriptures to understand the heart of God as it relates to your high calling. And I believe that it is your high calling as a steward or a money manager of the King of Kings resources. I'm grateful for that testimony and so many more that have been impacted by this message. So if you count on this program, maybe you've found some value in it, you've been able to apply something practically to your financial life, and you'd like to help us reach our year-end goal here at FaithFi, we would again direct you to our website to give a gift of any amount, and we mean that, $25, $50, $500, $5,000, whatever it is, monthly or one time, you can make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give, and thanks in advance. All right, let's take your phone calls today. The lines are nearly full, so we're going to dive into Canton, Ohio. Hi, Mike. Go ahead, sir.
So how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So here's my situation. I've never been good with money my whole life. I've had decent jobs and just have been going through it just frivolously. And a couple years ago, God touched my life and started to work with me with money. And since then, I'm 65 years old now, and I've actually started to save money. And 2 years ago, I started to tithe, listening to the principles that you've been preaching and others in my life from a religious standpoint. And God has worked on my life to say that everything that I have really belongs to Him. And, you know, what I give is what He puts on my heart to give. And I tithe as a discipline. And I've actually turned my life around. My question to you is this. I don't know what else I can do. I make $80,000 a year at my job. I've been able to, in the last couple years, get about $80,000 put in my 401k. My company matches 5% of it, and I put my max in for the last couple years, and it's grown a little bit. I have probably about $15,000 worth of credit card debt, about $15,000 worth of loan debt. I rent right now, so I don't have a mortgage. I rent, and I have about $5,000 in savings. And I was wondering if you could give me some advice as to what I can do over the next, you know, 2-3 years. I think as long as the Lord continues to bless my health, I have the type of job that I work out of my home, and it's more of a consulting type job. So I'm able to continue to make the money I made. And I'm on pace right now that if I work for the next couple of years, Social Security be around. It's telling me that I should have about $4,200 a month in Social Security.
Okay. Yeah, Mike. Well, I appreciate that background. And first of all, let me just affirm this idea that, you know, the most important decision you've made is to surrender your life to Jesus and really to pursue him and recognize that he is our abundance, first and foremost. He's not the access to our abundance. He is our abundance. And when we see him as our ultimate treasure and then realize our role then is faithfulness to opportunity, which is as a steward of God's word and our relationships and our time and the calling and the skills that he's given to us, and yes, the financial resources. And so we immerse ourselves in God's word to try to, you know, conform our minds to the image of Christ and really pursue righteousness. And we get involved in a church family. And, you know, those are the things that I hear you describing. And obviously that transforms our lives. And I love the fact that you've even had a tangible demonstration of that through the act of giving, which is really should be an act of worship. It's something that we should do. And it has a way of loosening the grip of money over our lives. So I think the key for you right now is really to stay on this track, to continue to work as long as you can. Let that Social Security build up to age 70. It'll grow 8% a year. That'll maximize that check. And let's focus on getting you out of debt right now. I want to do two things. I want you to connect with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get the interest rates down. And I want to connect you with a coach, so stay on the line. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Now, let me mention before we head back to the phones, this is a really important time for us to hear from you as listener donors of this ministry here at FaithFi. We can only do what we do on this broadcast and on our website at faithfi.com and the FaithFi app as a direct result of your generous support, because as a listener-supported ministry, that's how it happens. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. A gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us finish the year strong. We're going to need some gifts of $20 and $40 and $50, and we're going to need some leadership gifts of $2 and $4 and $5,000. We put it all together, and that's how we fund this work, so we can equip God's people to be wise and faithful stewards. The quickest and easiest way to give is on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click give, and a gift before December 31st would be a real blessing. We'll look forward to receiving that after you prayerfully consider it, and thanks in advance. Let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Indianapolis. Heidi, I understand you have some advice about a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, when my parents were in financial need and looking at having to sell their home that they had built and hoped to live in for the rest of their lives, we were in a financial situation where we were able to take over their mortgage payments and ultimately pay off their mortgage. And in exchange, the house will become ours upon my mother's death. My father has passed on, and so they've had the use of it for as long as they need it. And besides being able to help them, it's kind of like an investment for us and may actually be our retirement home someday.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I mean, so that's great. So you all had the ability to step in and cover those mortgage payments, which that probably took the pressure off the budget. And then the Ladybird deed or the life estate deed allows your parents remain in control of the property until their death, and then it passes outside of probate to directly to you, so you get the stepped up cost basis. That's great. You know, I love that option if it's available. Obviously, you know, not all family members are in a position like you and your husband to step in like that. I think looking for any option that allows them, you know, to live debt free is obviously my preference, and clearly you and your husband came up with a way to do that. So I appreciate you sharing that, Heidi. Did it work out? Have you guys already ended up paying it off, or is that still a work in progress?
We did. We made the mortgage payment for a number of years, and then we're able to actually pay it off. And so it is debt free now.
I love that. Incredible. Well, thanks for calling and sharing that story. I really appreciate it. Hopefully that gives some folks some other ideas out there. God bless you. Let's go to Indianapolis. Hi, Joan. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. My question is really for my mother. My dad passed away a couple of months ago, and so I've been helping, you know, get paperwork done and get her finances kind of just order so she can see where everything's at. And I'm curious how to invest her excess funds. She's debt-free and between Social Security and a pension doesn't, you know, live above her means at all. So she's got about $400,000 in other investments that aren't earning anything. And so I was just curious what your thoughts were of, should that go into the stock market or should it be kept conservative? I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, very good. And what is, so the $400,000, how did she receive that? Is it inside a retirement account of some kind or was it just passed?
It's been a few various things. So there's an IRA that she has to take the minimum distribution. And I think that's invested in a few different mutual funds. That's about half of the money probably. Yeah. And then the rest is just a bunch of various different products, individual stocks or, I think there's one annuity.
Sure. Well, this is a classic situation, Joan, for an advisor to step in and really create a financial plan for her, looking at what are her income needs in this season of life. You know, does she have the proper insurance in place? You know, how to invest these funds to be able to protect what she's got, but also grow it so it, you know, the purchasing power is not eroded through inflation. And, you know, I think building that strategy so that you all don't have to take the weight of that on you. She certainly doesn't have to either. And you'd have a trusted advisor that, you know, could be waking up every day thinking about the proper way to invest these funds. Give me your thoughts on that, though, in terms of engaging an advisor to manage the money.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that at all. We were just, I guess my question was really just, you know, does it lean towards just protecting assets? In my mind, it really does need to grow. The annuity I know is only earning 7%, which, you know, at the time they signed up for that, it seemed really good and safe. But, you know, looking back over the last couple of years, it's not keeping up with inflation.
Yeah. Well, that was a kind of an anomaly with 40-year high inflation that was kind of a one-year thing when it got up to 9. I mean, 7% is a phenomenal return. Inflation right now is in the 4s, and the Federal Reserve is working to get that down. So, you know, if you could keep all of this growing at 7% a year in this season of life for your mom, that'd be great. You know, obviously, we're going to need to take some risk in order to do that, but that would be a very appropriate, I mean, I would say, you know, even a little less than that would be fine. Is she needing to draw an income each month off this $400,000, or is it really truly free just to grow?
It's just free to grow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what I would do is find that advisor who could analyze the annuity that she has, reading all the fine print. That's one of the downsides with annuities is they're complex and difficult to understand. You're going to need to know exactly what she's got and then look at where the rest of the investable assets are, how they're currently invested, analyzing those mutual funds, and then putting a financial plan kind of over the top of it so that you all and she knows kind of what the strategy is to be able to protect this money and, you know, make sure that she's provided for the rest of her life. If you don't have an advisor, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, CKA, and you would just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. And there in Indianapolis, there's a bunch of them. I mean, probably more than a dozen. And I would interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. And I think that'll give you both some peace of mind and make sure that she's got a plan that you all understand and that there's somebody giving oversight to the management of these assets, both the annuity as well as the money in stocks and bonds. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Joan. I'm delighted to hear you're walking alongside your mom in this season of life. And I think adding an advisor to the mix makes a lot of sense. We appreciate you being on the program. You know, when we look at American spending habits, really interesting to see. First of all, as of the latest data that I've seen, 2022, here's what we're spending. Housing, of course, is the largest expense that we see for most families. Is right at 35% of their income for most Americans is being spent on housing costs. We're seeing transportation. Average spending $813 a month. Healthcare has gone up $414 a month. Childcare is a big budget buster for many families. Love the idea of having kids. We should be fruitful and multiply. Children are a blessing, and yet we've got to account for the cost. We've got to put it into the plan. Daycare running about $453 a month on average. Average cost of groceries up. Cell phone bills up. I mean, we're seeing costs up across the board. Now, this is not a surprise to you. You're well aware of this. You live it every day. And what I would say is it really just underscores the need for you to have a spending plan for your family. A budget helps you organize your income and your spending so you can get control of your finances. If you want help with that, check out the FaithFi app at faithfi.com. Back with more of your questions just around the corner. Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones to Chicago. Rochelle, thank you for calling. How can we help?
Yes, I would like to know about what should I do in order to activate my retirement. I retired after my years complete, and I filled out the application and mailed it in. It was a couple I didn't check on there because I didn't know which way I should answer. So I talked to them, and they told me what I should do. They sent the application back. I mailed it back in, and they said they had received an application that was different from what I say or said that I had marked on there. And I've been waiting since 2016, and I still have not been able to receive it.
Oh my
goodness. I received a call on Thursday last week, and they said they did not have me in the system.
Yeah. Rochelle, I'm at a bit of a loss here. I mean, there's obviously pensions are guaranteed by the Pension Guarantee Benefit Corporation, but that's, you know, usually when a pension is defunct and kind of goes under. In this case, it just sounds like there's a problem with the paperwork that's resulted in, you know, you kind of getting lost in the shuffle. Unfortunately, there's not a quick fix for this apart from you being able to get somebody on the phone that is at a level that they're willing to take this on for you and figure out what's going on and why, you're not receiving the pension checks that you should be receiving. Whether that's an in-person visit, if that's possible, or you just calling down there and escalating this to a supervisor or some sort of manager that, can help you get this sorted out. Obviously your company's pension department is the place to go. And, you know, normally what happens is, you fill out the paperwork and, they have some formula that based on your age and compensation and years of service. And, it determines the amount you receive. But obviously it's been a long, long time since you've separated from employment. So unfortunately, the only thing I can do is just to say I'd get down there if you can in person. I'd schedule an appointment. I would call and not give up until you get somebody who can explain to you why for the last 7 years you've not been receiving the pension that you're entitled to. And if you're missing something, maybe they can clear it up in terms of whether or not you were entitled to that. And if you were, they can tell you, why you haven't been receiving the checks and how you can be made whole. So I wish I had a kind of a secret sauce here to tell you about to get this rectified quickly. I don't, other than just directing you back to the pension department and know that, you know, this pension is guaranteed, so it's not going anywhere. We just need to get, you know, the paperwork in order. So, Rochelle, listen, all the best to you in that. Please keep us posted. I'd love to hear kind of how this works out, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to direct you back to the company to get this sorted out. Thanks for your call today, and I'm very, very sorry for your situation. Let's go to Tampa. Hi, Beatrice. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you for calling for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this: at some point, I did have a little bit of bad credit, and then I was offered two credit cards that they have an annual fee, and I took it and I used them. Thank God, through the years, my credit is awesome right now. I don't have any balance on those credit cards. About, I'm almost debt free, and then also my question is, I called the company, those companies, and then I asked them to if they can like take the annual fees off, and I will continue with the cards in case I needed it, but they refuse. They say that no, the contracts say that they cannot do that, and then question for you, it will hurt my credit a lot if I choose to close those two credit cards. Right now they are zero balance and my credit is a 755 at this moment.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, if you close those cards, your credit score will drop slightly, but it will be temporary and they will come back. The score will come back. Are you in the process of seeking a new loan? Are you thinking about buying a car or buying a house where you need a mortgage?
No, basically, well, probably buying a car probably in a year or 2 years from now.
Okay, got
it. But not right now.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be the only concern is if you said, well, yeah, next week I want to go buy a car, and, you know, potentially if you drop below a 720, you may not qualify, you know, for the very best rates and terms. But, you know, as long as you aren't doing that in the next 90 days, I wouldn't be concerned about that. And I think there is a benefit to you having these cards closed because, number one, you can get rid of the annual fee. Number two, those are two less cards that have the ability to be compromised by somebody and used fraudulently. So I love the idea of you closing them. And if you don't have any plan to go out and get a new loan in the next few months, let alone the next year, then I would say go for it. I wouldn't close more than two every 6 months, but you've only got two to close. So I'd do it right away.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Let's head to Hollywood, Florida. Marcia, how can I help you?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm just so happy that you were called to the kingdom at such a time as this when we need financial advice.
Well, thank you.
I do have a concern. I would like to go through the Christian Credit Counseling or any one of those reputable counseling agencies. But I do have one of those licenses where they ask if I have ever, if I'm compromising or if I compromise with a creditor. Would that be considered a compromise?
It would not. No, they're referring to a settlement where you'd stop paying. Typically, you'd get in arrears, maybe even have a charge off, and then you come back and try to settle for, you know, 50 cents on the dollar or 10 cents on the dollar. That's not what this is. Credit counseling may be noted on your credit report, but it's not a compromise. It's not a settlement. And it's not a part of the credit scoring formula either. So I'm completely comfortable with you doing credit counseling. In fact, it's my preferred way to pay off debt.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Okay.
Because I really need to go into. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Marcia. Thank you for being so kind and for your kind remarks about the program. I appreciate it. God bless you. Let's finish today just right down the street from Marcia. Michael's in Coconut Creek, Florida. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Thank you very much. I listen to your program a lot. I'm on the road. I wanted a quick testimony and then ask a question. The testimony is my wife and I about a year ago, I'm approached 55, and I was ready to downsize a four-bedroom house. We had about $500,000 worth of debt between a mortgage, credit cards, vehicle, and a tax bill and all that. So long story short, we decided let's downsize. The kids are grown. We sold the house. As you know, Florida real estate has gone through the roof, so we made enough money to pay off all $500,000 worth of debt, purchase a condo, and we have some money left over.
Great.
So the question is, we have about $60,000, and we're trying to figure out how much money we need to put in an emergency fund, and then if we should start investing the rest of the money somewhere. And kind of trying to get an idea what to do now, because we have no mortgage and we have no car debt and we have no credit card debt, which is all things that we never experienced before.
Yeah, that's a blessing. What is your age, Michael?
I just turned 56.
All right. And do you have a retirement plan available at work?
We don't. We're actually self-employed, and we were going through some hard times in our business. Yeah. That was one of the reasons why we decided to downsize, to lower our overhead and get into a totally different situation.
Yeah. So you don't have any, and it's fine. I'm just clarifying. You don't have any retirement assets currently.
No. Okay. We're just trying to decide what to do with the money.
Yeah. So. I totally get it. And here's the great thing. I love what you did. I mean, you got completely out of debt. Now, as long as you keep your lifestyle in check and don't have lifestyle creep, and you know what that means, as you have more margin, the tendency is to spend more. As long as you keep that reined in, now you've got plenty of margin where you can not only take the $60,000 and set aside 6 months worth of expenses in a high yield savings account, but then you can take the rest of it plus all the money you have left over every month and start funding. I would open a SEP IRA, SEP. That's going to allow you to put away the most money as a self-employed person. And for 2023, you can put away either 25% of your compensation or $66,000, whichever is less. So that would allow you to put away a good bit of money. And if you did that for the next, 10, 12, 15 years, you'll have quite a nest egg there, still be completely debt free. And, that on top of Social Security should put you in a good spot.
So would you say that we should put all of that money in an emergency fund?
Well, how much do you spend each month?
It's not a lot. I mean, our just HOA insurance is not a lot, so we probably have about $1,000 to $2,000 excess income a month over our bills.
Yeah, but what are your bills per month? Sounds like you don't have a budget. Is that right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's about $2,000 a month because we don't have a mortgage anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's more than that. I mean, I got three items at the grocery store last night. It was $100. So I think you need to kind of dial into that spending plan, get that budget set up and know what you're spending. You need at least 6 months worth of expenses. If it's $3,000 a month, that's $18,000. Then the rest you could put in that SEP IRA and then add to it every month. I got to run. Thanks for your call, Michael. God bless you, my friend. Well, we're so grateful to have you with us on the program today. I appreciate Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without my amazing team. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.